Welcome back to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. I hope you're enjoying the Christmas music we are providing for this show. We have a whole Christmas music special coming up on Christmas Day for WHK and on our regular slot for KZSB, and it will be available after those airings on BruceSalen.com. I am a Christmas music fanatic, and we've also had some fun Christmas music for this show, including the Salen Boys singing along to the Drifters' White Christmas, which is my favorite version of White Christmas after, of course, Bing Crosby's original, which, as you may or may not know, is the all-time best-selling single record. We have Pastor Drew with us for our Teen Rap segment. Continuing on, hi, Pastor Drew.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, speaking of Christmas music, I'm glad you like good Christmas music. I was at Starbucks yesterday, and they had Barking Dog Jingle Bells.
Oh, I hate that.
Yes.
It's horrible.
Everybody kind of stopped and looked around and confused and shaking their head. So thank you for the good Christmas music.
I heard a really funny Christmas song, actually. It was, I have to get a copy of it. It was a PC, politically correct Christmas song in which some really clever performer did something in which it combined all the PC nonsense around Christmas, uh-huh. You know, with all these cities and municipalities, you know, taking down Christmas from any public display or nativity scenes, which is the biggest kind of nonsense. I don't talk politics, but it's so silly. And there was this really funny song about the political correct nonsense that surrounds some places that are trying to take down Christmas as a national holiday when the vast majority of America and our founders celebrated and honored it. And in no way, in my opinion, does it dishonor anyone that is not observing Christmas. And as a Jew, I adore Christmas, just like I adore Hanukkah, and I find it hysterical.
Yeah,
that you can't appreciate someone else's holiday without necessarily observing it.
I know.
It's
peculiar. You're modeling it for us. That's good.
Anyway, let's continue. I know you have another piece of scripture to share with us, so please, let's do that.
Yep, so last segment from Proverbs. Now we're going to hop into the New Testament. There's a great little section. I feel like it applies more today than it did 2,000 years ago, because I think it's so easy for us to take for granted that we'll even be alive 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. You know, so many kids these days especially think, oh, yeah, well, I'll live till 80, 90, 100, and they'll make big plans for tomorrow. And so this passage really speaks directly to that and says this: "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It's a mere mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And I mean, it's a hard-hitting passage, but it's true. You know, we focus so much on what I'll do tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, and I think sometimes in the midst of our planning, we forget about the now, and we miss Rabbi Hillel's wisdom of, if not now, when?
And given that this segment of our show is devoted usually to teens, it couldn't be more apt. Because teenagers, of course, believe they will live forever.
Sure.
They believe they're invulnerable. I have a 17-year-old, and he, God willing, will be leaving the house not too long from now. And the idea of how much time we have left with him in our home and how we spend that time is on my wife and my minds a lot.
Yeah.
And we were discussing, my wife and I, we usually take an annual trip, just the two of us, and next year would be the last opportunity to take a family trip with our older son potentially living at home, again, if he does, in fact, get to leave the house with the economy the way it is, who knows. And we were discussing, well, what kind of trip could we take as a family? And we usually like to do a certain kind of trip, and we thought, no, we should do one where the boys would really want to go on it. And it's a total, if not now, when situation. We can always do something that we would want to do after they're gone. So let's do something that they want to do now. In other words, if not now, when?
That's great. Because I think as parents, you have so much better perspective on the if not now when. You know, you recognize that, gosh, the years and months are getting shorter and shorter in terms of how long you have with them. But for them, of course, they're wrapped up in, you know, school, friends, hobbies, music, whatever it may be. They're not thinking about if not now, when. They're thinking, oh, well, I got plenty of time for that. And so I like that idea of planning a vacation or an activity that they would love to do. And it's almost like a coming around from the other angle, helping them really appreciate the now. I think that's great.
Well, we're thinking of one idea. I have a feeling my son would like another. I think, I don't know where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, but my guess is that's where he'd like to go.
Yeah.
Gosh, where is it? Does anybody know? Do you know where that is, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Richard? Yeah, I think it's Cleveland, too. Well, that would be actually perfect since we're now broadcasting Cleveland. Maybe we could go and broadcast right out of our Cleveland station.
Maybe some of the listeners can show you around.
Yeah, that might be interesting. I'll have to do a little homework on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, teens and this idea of if not now, when.
Yeah,
how
know,
do you think it relates?
Gosh, you know, if Rabbi Hillel was alive today, I think he would add on to his quote. I think he'd say, if not now, when? But he'd also say, if not here, then where? And by that I mean, with technology, I see so many students, and you know, I do it sometimes too, where I get so lost in Facebook or texting or looking up scores for sports games or even playing games on my phone that I can't even be present in the here and now because I'm somewhere else. My mind's somewhere else. I'm thinking about something else far away. And so I have to be really intentional you know, when I spend time with high school students to, you know, put away my phone. I want to model for them what it means to be present, not only now, but also here. And I just see them getting wrapped up in online things, and I think technology really exacerbates that.
It concerns me. I have a new website called Boomer Tech Talk, and I wrote a blog called Typewriters to Texting, and part of it is reflecting on how my younger son almost communicates solely with his friends via texting. Mm. And my older son still talks on the phone and actually meets his friends IRL in real life.
I like that.
And my younger son doesn't have friends over. So, and he is totally sociable. He has a lot of friends. But it is really more what has happened to the middle school age kids. They relate almost completely via texting. And that is, to me, totally unhealthy.
Yeah, they've grown up with that their entire life, so they really don't know anything different.
So how will they learn socialization skills? And, by the way, will they even need to? If the job world is all about texting and emailing and computers, maybe they don't even need it. But then how will they have a social life? How will they meet their partners? Will it all be that way?
Yeah, you know, I think with so much of society going towards that, like you were saying, I think that those that are able to have the IRL skills, I love that, in real life skills, I think it's really going to put them, you know, above and beyond the average person. They're really going to stand out because they're able to have a face-to-face conversation. They're able to put their phone away over a meal and actually interact with somebody and look them in the eye. I think that if you're able to teach your kids that skill now, boy, that really sets them apart and I think really sets them up for success later on in life.
Well, it's a big IDK.
I don't know.
All right, Pastor Drew, you have a 48-hour commitment.
I do.
Okay, and I want to hear from you.
I
also want to, since we are out of time, as we went by very quickly on our two segments, please tell our listeners where they can reach you.
Sure, they can reach me on my church's website. That is calvarycc.org.
Okay, Pastor Drew, it has been a pleasure. We will speak next week, but then I think I will have... you will be gone visiting your in-laws in sunny Texas.
Yes, sunny Texas. Sunny but cold, I think it is right now.
Well, it's been a great show. Thank you so much and for bringing those Proverbs and other great wisdom to the show. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bruce, for having me on.
It's been great. It's time for another break. This is Bruce Salen, and this is the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View.
Over the ground lies a mantle of white. A heaven of diamonds shine down through the night. Two hearts are thrilling in spite of the chilling weather.